Good evening, everyone. It is indeed a wonderful privilege to spend a few minutes in the study of God's Word. Before we look into the Scripture, shall we open with a word of prayer? Gracious Lord, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us to gather together this evening to spend some time in prayer, and also, Lord, to meditate on your Word. Father, as we go into a time of devotion, we ask that you would open our eyes and that your Word would guide and direct our steps. We commit this time to you, and we ask for your guidance and blessing upon each one of us. We ask all this in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So as you all know, we have been covering the parables of the Lord Jesus for the last several months. And in today's session, we'll be looking at the parable of the laborers in the vineyard. And we find it in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 20. Now, before we actually read those verses, I'd like to set some context around this parable and also touch on some of the incidents that preceded it. If we turn back to chapter 19, we read there about the interaction Jesus had with the rich young man who asked the question, "What must I do to have eternal life?" Now, this is a very familiar passage to us. And to this specific question, Jesus responded with the statement, "Keep the commandments." Now, the rich young man began to probe even further, and he asked Jesus what specific ones to keep. And Jesus listed out six of them, which was to that thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not steal, honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself. And then in verse 20, the young man says that all these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack? And that specific question and that mindset of the rich young man actually sets the stage and initiates us into today's parable. So the rich young man knew that in spite of doing everything that appeared right to him, such as living an honest and honorable life, deep down he still knew that there was still something lacking. And so he was feeling anxious and he wanted to do something about it. And in other words, he wanted to do something to attain eternal life. So basically, he was trying to earn his way into heaven. Now, Apostle Paul, before his conversion, had a similar mindset and attitude. And he mentions it in Philippians chapter 3, where he says that concerning the righteousness which is in the law, I was blameless. So both Paul, before his conversion, and this rich young man considered themselves to be without fault when it came to obeying the law. But once Jesus gives his final response to the rich young man, which was to sell everything, all that he had, and give it to the poor, we see that he returns very sorrowful because he had many possessions. Now, not soon after this incident, Peter, who was overhearing this conversation, he now begins to bargain with Christ. Unlike this rich young man, who Peter and the other disciples, they had left everything for Christ. They sold all their possessions and they followed Christ. So now Peter's question was, what would they get in return? And we can see that in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 27. So the rich young man's question was, what more should I do to attain eternal reward? And Peter's question was, since we have left everything for you, sold our possessions, what do we get in return? And as this question is being posed and Jesus is responding, he explains a very important truth about the kingdom of heaven. And we find that truth in verse 30 of chapter 19. It says, "But many who are first will be last, and the last first." And this important truth that comes out from the interaction that Christ has with Peter and also with the rich young man leads us into today's parable. So the parable begins with verse, with the last verse of chapter 19. So let's read those verses beginning from verse 30 in chapter 19 until verse 16 in chapter 20. So Matthew chapter 19 and verse 30. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Now, when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And when he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said to them, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, I will give you. So they went. Again, he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle and said to them, why have you been standing here idle all day? They said to him, because no one hired us. He said to them, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, you will receive. Verse 8. So when evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his steward, call the laborers and give them their wages, beginning with the last to the first. And when those came who were hired about the 11th hour, they each received a denarius. But when the first came, they supposed that they would receive more, and they likewise received each a denarius. Verse 11. And when they had received it, they complained against the landowner, saying, these last men have worked only 1 hour, and you made them equal to us who have borne the burden and heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give to this last man the same as to you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? Or is your eye evil because I am good? So the last will be first and the first last. For many are called, but few are chosen. So notice here in this parable, the parable ends with the same truth that it started out with in verse 30 of the last chapter, which is, so the last will be first and the first last. And we will go back again to this proverb later. So in this parable, this parable is an illustration, and it gives us a glimpse into the kingdom of heaven, the spiritual realm where God rules by grace. Jesus here compares the kingdom of heaven to a landowner, the master of a house who is the owner of a very large vineyard. He probably had his regular staff who took care of his household needs. And since it was the season to harvest grapes, he needed to hire additional laborers so that he could get the crops in before it was too late. So the landowner sets out early in the morning looking for workers. So he probably went to the market square or to the city square where the laborers are gathered looking for work. Now, these laborers were people in the society who did not have a stable job. They lived paycheck to paycheck, and there was no guarantee of a steady income for them. If they didn't get work or didn't get hired, then their entire families would go hungry that particular day. So there was a certain level of desperation when it came to finding work. And as the hours passed and the longer it took for them to find work, the more desperate they became. Now, in the Bible, we read that God has special consideration for these kinds of people, and God wanted them to be taken care of. So if you turn to Deuteronomy chapter 24, reading verses 14 and 15, you can get an idea of this. It says, verse 14, do not take advantage of a hired worker who is poor and needy, whether that worker is a fellow Israelite or a foreigner residing in one of your towns. Pay them their wages each day before sunset, because they are poor and are counting on it. Otherwise, they cry to the Lord. They may cry to the Lord against you, and you will be guilty of sin. So these verses we see here, God is promising that to judge the person or the employer who takes advantage of a laborer who is poor and needy, and also withholds his wages before the end, at the end of the day. And so, you know, this, these verses tell us that God has special concern and interest for these groups of people. Now, in this parable, we see the landowner hiring five groups of people throughout the day. The first group of laborers, they entered into a contract with the landowner. Now, we have to keep in mind that this was not a one-sided negotiation, but instead both parties, the landowner and the day laborers, they both were involved in the agreement, and they mutually agreed also to the terms. So the landowners paid, the day laborers also played a very important role in the negotiations. And in those days, a soldier in Caesar's army, which was considered an honorable job, they were paid also a denarius a day as daily wage. So the payment that was negotiated by the laborers was in fact very fair, and the landowner was also ready to pay. Now, the rest of the four groups who were hired from mid-morning, from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. late in the afternoon, we read that there was no such negotiation or agreement in place, but rather it was based on whatever was fair and whatever was right. Now here, the assumed agreement is based on the nature and character of the landowner. Being an honorable man, the workers trusted that the landowner would keep his word and do whatever was fair and whatever was right. Now, as you see this list, notice that we have to give it a special consideration to the people who, to the day laborers who were at the city square at 5 p.m. in the evening. You know, the day was about to end. You know, the rest of the workers, they were completing their work and they were getting ready to go home. And these groups of laborers, they couldn't find work that whole day, you know, and they were so desperate that they were even willing to work for 1 hour just so that their families would not go hungry. So the landowner, probably out of compassion, he hires these people as well. And once the day ends, he calls his steward to line up the workers, you know, starting from the last first. And again, we see the reference to the proverb that the last will be first and the first last. And the people who were hired at 5 p.m. in the evening, they get an entire day's wage, a denarius. So you can imagine how grateful they must have been, you know, getting more than what they deserved. But as we move up the line, things begin to change. The laborers who actually worked the whole day, you know, starting from 6 in the morning, the ones who had established a contract with the landowner, they begin to set higher expectations. They forget that the contract that they had negotiated, and they set a higher reference point for the wages that they were expecting. But when they eventually receive the same wage as the rest of the four groups, which is a denarius, they actually begin now to murmur and to complain. We read how they feel treated unfairly in verse 12. And it says in verse 12, "These last men have worked only 1 hour, and you made them equal to us who have borne the burden and heat of the day." So the question here is, was the landowner fair? And did he give a certain group of people more than what they deserved? And the truth of the matter is that the landowner was actually more than fair. He gave all five groups of people enough wage for the day to live on. And he gave the first group of people the exact wage that they had agreed upon, not a penny less. And similarly, if you see the analogy, our God is always also fair. You know, he's always more than fair. He's a God of justice, and as we know, that is one of his communicable attributes. In Ezekiel chapter 18, Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 25, we see that God is responding to the Israelites who were complaining about this very same thing, that God is not fair. Let's read what's written there in verse 25. It says, "Ye say the way of the Lord is not equal. Hear now, O house of Israel, is not my way equal? Are not your ways unequal?" So here, Ezekiel defends God as being a God of perfect equality. And if we think that that's not the case, it's because our ways are unequal. In fact, if God gave us what we truly deserve, then we wouldn't be alive today. So everything that we have is a gift. Everything that we have in life is a mercy, and it is not based on our merit. Let's now look at how the landowner responds once the workers, the day laborers begin to complain, the ones that came early in the morning at 6 a.m. And if we read that in verse 13, the response of the landowner. "But he answered one of them," and this is Matthew chapter 20, verse 13. "But he answered one of them and said, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give to this last man the same as to you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? Or is your eye evil because I am good? So the last will be first and the first last. For many are called, but few chosen.'" So Jesus Christ has used this proverb in other passages as well. And the key truth that we must understand from this proverb and from this riddle, that in order for the last to be first and the first to be last, we all have to be equal and we all have to finish at the same time. See, in the sphere of God's domain and God's kingdom, salvation and eternal life is not something that we earn. Nor is it based on our years of service. It is a gift of God given according to his sovereign will. So everyone equally inherits the reward of eternal life if we come to him with a sincere and repentant heart. Now, coming back to the rich young man that we saw in chapter 19, we see there that he was asking, "What must I do to attain eternal life?" From his perspective, he wanted to earn his way into heaven. Now, from Peter's perspective, his attitude was similar to the day laborers who came at 6 a.m. in the morning. Peter would have thought, "Hey, we are the first ones to forsake everything for Christ and follow Christ. So what are we going to get in return?" So this parable is directed specifically to them to show that in the heavenly realm, the rules are different. God treats everyone equally who knocks at his door with a sincere and repentant heart, regardless of how late they arrive, whether it is the penitent thief on the cross who asked Jesus to remember him when he came into his kingdom, or the disciples who left everything, sold all their possessions, and followed Christ for 3 whole years. And, you know, either one of these groups, right, we all equally inherit the reward of eternal life. And that is not because of our merit, but because our God is a God of mercy. We are saved by grace through faith and not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. Now, after Jesus spoke this parable, we would think that the disciples truly understood the meaning and significance of this phrase, "the last shall be first and the first last." But we notice a few incidents following this passage where they were still focused on positions and rewards in the kingdom of God. For instance, in verse 17 of chapter 20, I don't think I have it, but in verse 17 of chapter 20, we see that after Jesus is predicting his death and resurrection,
James and John is approaching Jesus with their mother, and she is asking Jesus to grant her two sons to sit on the right hand and on the left hand in the kingdom, in the heavenly kingdom. Now, when the other disciples heard this, they were very upset with James and John. But Jesus, again, sets himself as an example, and he gently counsels them with these verses that we read in Matthew chapter 20, verses 26 to 28. And it says, in verse 26, in that, "But whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." So that's one instance. We also find another instance, this time in the upper room, where we see the disciples arguing as to who would be the greatest in the kingdom of God. So when this particular incident happened, what did Jesus do? We read there that Jesus rose, he set aside his robe, he took a towel and tied it around himself, and then he began to wash the feet of the disciples. In other words, he was living out those very principles and doing the work of the lowliest of servants. His act actually reminded the disciples that Christ came not to be served, but to serve, that whoever desires to be great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. So to summarize, I have this table here, which provides a comparison between what the elements and characters in this parable refers to. So here you can see the landowner or the householder is God. He's the one who is a landowner. The vineyard is God's kingdom, and the laborers are those working in his kingdom. Now, the day of work, that was from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. in the evening, that is representing our lifespan, right? And some have been in the kingdom for a long time and some for a very brief moment. And the evening represents eternity. And the steward here represents Jesus Christ, who gives out those rewards. And finally, the wage or the denarius represents eternal life or life in the kingdom of God. So in conclusion, the parable of the laborers in the vineyard, it is a very powerful reminder about God's generosity and his grace. And it also challenges us to examine our own attitude towards rewards and towards work. We have to always remember that everything we have in life is a mercy. It's a gift from God. And it is not because of our merits. So may these thoughts encourage us, and may God enable us to live out his gracious and generous character in the days to come. May his name be glorified.